Hello, good morning. Welcome to our virtual meeting to present the results of the second quarter of 2025. This event is being recorded and has simultaneous translation into English. To listen to the audio in English, please press the interpretation button at the bottom of your Zoom screen. The event is going to be divided into two parts. On the first part, our CEO, André Haui, and our CFO, Rafael Sperendio, will be presenting the main highlights of the quarter. The presentation in Portuguese or in English can be downloaded from our investor relations website at the address www.bbseguridade.com.br. On the second part of our event, there will be a questions and answers session when analysts and investors may request additional questions. I will be back after the presentations to give you instructions for those who want to ask questions. Now, I would like to give the floor to André, who's going to talk about the main highlights of the quarter. André, now the floor is yours, please.
Thank you, Felipe. Good morning, my dear friends. I would like to start by thanking all the people who are following our virtual meeting about our performance for the second quarter of 2025. This is an important moment to highlight the results achieved based on our commitment to create value with innovation and continuous search for efficiency in all fronts of our business. Our net income, excluding IFRS standards and extraordinary events in a period, reached the mark of 2.2 billion BRL, an increase of approximately 20% compared to the second quarter of 2024, with our annualized return on equity reaching the mark of approximately 90% and advancing more than 15 percentage points compared to the same period of the previous year. The significant growth is also observed in accumulated result of the first half of this year. We reached a net income of 4.2 billion BRL, up 14%, and a return of approximately 94% with an increase of 12 percentage points. The quarter's result was driven by an 11.3% growth in operating income and a significant increase of 69% in financial income, as a result of efficient asset management in all companies of the group. Our retained earned premiums, the main revenue metric of our insurance company, grew almost 10%, totally 3.7 billion BRL. The loss ratio remained at the lowest historical levels and ended the quarter at 21.5%, with an improvement of 5.7 percentage points. In our accumulation business, pension reserves expanded 9.4%, in 12 months and reached the expressive mark of 449 billion BRL. In premium bonds, we reached 1.8 billion in collection, a strong growth of 24.1% compared to the second quarter of last year. At BB Corretora, brokerage revenues totaled 1.4 billion, up 5.6% in the quarter. The results presented reflect the management capacity and the merit of a tireless team for innovating and creating solutions that generate value for all stakeholders. The new products launched this year are already delivering consistent numbers, which pave the way for the company to grow sustainably and robustly. We have launched two initiatives at the end of the first quarter of 2025, which have been gaining traction and will catalyze results for the company. The first one is credit life insurance for private payroll loans, which totaled more than 94 million premiums. The second is BB Credit Life Consortium, originated more than 7,000 proposals, which represent premiums of approximately 82 million BRL. At the end of June, we launched credit life for new credit lines for small businesses, a segment that was not covered previously. In just over a month, there were 69 million in premiums. In livestock insurance revenue, there were 69 million in premiums in the year, guaranteed with the new features we launched for rehiring, a growth of 48% compared to the same period in 2024. Our product to celebrate the 30th anniversary of AutoCAP has been a success. In 2 months, more than 135 million were raised with the sale of 45,000 bonds. As part of our diversification strategy for our channels, we reached a volume of 856 million BRL in premiums written, which is equivalent to 11% of the total of the insurers. In the structured businesses where we have co-insurance and solo panel insurance operations, we grew 40% compared to the first half of 24%. In cooperatives and agro-resellers, the growth was 55%. We also sold 3.8 million low-income bonds to new customers, a collection of 11 million BRL. We also advanced in digital channels, where we made 330,000 sales in the semester, 46% to new customers. Premium bonds and personal protection insurance are important products in our strategy to expand our base of customers and universalized protection solutions were the ones that grew the most in volume sold. We continue to advance firmly in the search for efficiency and excellence in service. Our NPS, the main satisfaction indicator, advanced 5.7 points and remains consolidated in a quality zone. We reduced by 27% the number of complaints compared to the same period last year, and churn fell 10%, reinforcing the loyalty of our base. These advances are a direct reflection of our management capacity and the consolidated coordinated action of our companies. We reduced the general administrative expenses ratio in all fronts, 7.8 percentage points at Brasil Cap, 1 point at BB Corretora, and 0.4 at Brazil Seg. These efficiency gains are just numbers. They represent our ability to do more with less, to deliver value with responsibility, and to keep customers at the center of our decisions. Now I give the floor to Rafael, who's going to share with you the main numbers of the quarter. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, Andre. Now going to the details of our numbers, and even before giving you more details about our results, there is a brief explanation by something that is very common for us to do to segregate non-recurring items from our results. But this quarter, there is an update of the provision for claims at Brasil Seg that has a positive impact already considering the proportion of our share at BB Seguridade of amounting to 62 million, and we understand that this is a one-off item. We segregated the results from the quarter and year-to-date numbers, and this is a result of a change that took place in regulations and before for civil lawsuits, and especially for claims. We didn't have a well-defined criteria in terms of regulation defining the update of those provisions, and we adopted an internal methodology that was based in our experience with NPS plus 1% interest rates. And after last year, because of the new law that a monetary correction should be IPCA plus Selic minus IPCA. So after the end of last year, we started booking these correction according to the new law, and now in the second quarter we updated everything, which caused the impact of 62, and all the details are in our materials, in our press release, and all the numbers that we are going to discuss are on recurring basis. So starting with the recurring net income, second quarter result was 2.2 billion, 2.3, if we take out the time mismatch effect of the correction of liabilities of the plans of Brasil Prev, a 20% growth year-on-year. In the first half, 4.2, 14%, it would have been 4.4 if we took out the impact of this time mismatch. And this time mismatch took out 154 million in the first half of the year. In the first half last year was neutral, so this affected our numbers. But as we always say, This amount will come back to our results at some time in the second half of the year. And it took place precisely because in June we had an IGPM down by 1.7% with deflation, whereas liabilities had an IGPM with a deflation of just 0.5%, which was May IGPM. So in June, this started getting better, and in July too, and now in August it's almost reversed, and we are going to see 150 million back into our results almost already in the third quarter. In terms of our net investment income, consolidated all companies after tax growing 69% year-on-year and 55% if we compare the first half of the year. This is related to our net income. On the next page, you can see the analysis and you see our results broken down, operating result and investment income. So operating grew 245 million, and the main driver here was the booking of earned premiums and reduction in loss ratio. These are the main highlights in the first half of the year. In terms of the financial income, we had a more direct effect in the impact of the high in Selic rate, plus a growth in volume totaling 258 million. The time mismatch that I just mentioned offsets part of the gain, taking out 154, but the mark-to-market added 173. And in the first half, we had a positive effect, a gain of mark-to-market of 23 million BRL after tax, whereas last year we had a loss of mark-to-market of 150 million BRL in the first half of 2024. So the combined effect of the investment income, despite the time mismatch of 300 million growth year-on-year. Now going into the details operation by operation. So here on insurance operations on page 8, you can see premiums written in the second quarter dropped 1% year-on-year. So it's slightly down from what we saw in the first quarter of this year. So within this performance and reduction of 1%, you can see that was very much impacted by credit life and rural. Without going too much into details of these two lines, the credit life has been very much impacted by the growth in companies. If year-on-year individuals had the growth of a growth in individuals, but really with companies, there was a greater impact. And in rural, as we said before, and then it's been widely publicized in the news, it's been slightly more difficult with our crop insurance, and this has been the main culprit for the drop of 3% that you see both in the quarter and year-on-year, and also in the first half of the year. For life insurance, there was a drop of 3.6% year-on-year, even though it's flat almost. If we see the first half of the year, and the main factor for that was customers leaving with higher tickets, and we could not offset that with new sales. So even though we had this slightly sharper drop in the second quarter, but in the year-to-date numbers, they're okay. All other lines had a growth from medium to high with good performance, both in the quarter and in year-to-date numbers. Now, the performance ratios on the left-hand side, you can see the combined ratio as a result of a better loss ratio. This is clear why this, because last year we had the catastrophes in the south of Brazil that have really affected, and we had some other effect of crop insurance that impacted also the south of the country. But this year, those events did not repeat, and there was a strong drop in loss ratio in both comparison basis, and loss ratio is the main driver for this better combined ratio. Also, we had a better operational efficiency in G&A, dropped 40 basis year-on-year, 20 basis year-to-date numbers, and also contributing for the improvement in the combined ratio. On the other hand, there is a high in commissioning, And this is a result of change of mix with the crop insurance losing share and other products with higher commissions gaining share. Now, when we talk about investment income, there is a 45% growth year-on-year, 42% in year-to-date numbers, and this is a result of a higher Selic. So this is the most relevant, is the higher Selic. And net income grew 25% year-on-year and 17% in the first half. So there was a better in the combined and a higher in financial income. This is the main results and the main things that happened, and this growth that was very robust in recurring income, already segregating that one-off effect that I mentioned in the beginning. Now, talking about our pension operations, contributions dropped 21% year-on-year, 22% year-on-year, 21% in year-to-date numbers. This is because of the effect of IOF on VGBL, and this reduced very much the inflow with a direct impact in inflows that is down by 4 in the first half, 5 be down in year-to-date numbers. But if we look quarter on quarter, you can see a drop in terms of thinking of reserves. In March, it was 11.6. Now it's down to 11.1. And if we can still see this environment with fixed income without much volatility along the second quarter, we can see an improvement in redemption rates along the second half of the year. Reserves growing, and then revenues with management fees dropping year on year, because of lower management fees or because of the change in the risk profile with a higher share of products that are more conservative in a total of assets. And this drove down the average rate. And this, in fact, also had an impact in the revenue from management fees. And we had fewer working days that affected both year on year. And also, if you compare the first half of the year, then the recurring net income, despite the reduction in management fees and the growth, it grew very strongly, 20% year on year and 18% in the first half. And this is the result of the better performance of the investment income because of a higher Selic rate, but also a positive effect of mark-to-market, which also contributed to a drop in IGPM with a significant reduction in the cost of liabilities. These were the main drivers for the growth of Brasilprev, even though we saw this acceleration in operational growth. Now, in premium bonds, 24% collection growth in collection, 11% in the year-to-date numbers. Reserves grew 1%. Lottery prices paid grew 6% year-on-year down. And then we paid out 31 million in the first half of this year. Net investment income grew 6% year-on-year because of the margin expansion, 20 basis points in the financial margin, plus the growth in volume. In the first half, it dropped 19% because of compression of financial margins. And this is basically the effect that we had in the first quarter with a negative adjustment of edge. And because of the opening curve, we decided to protect our exposure to fixed income. So in the first quarter, the company didn't have enough time to give up all that protection. So this led to a negative effect with hedge in the first quarter, and now it's back to normal. You can see the net investment income that has been growing in a very healthy way. So with the net income, we had 5% up year on year, 10% down if we see the first 6 months of the year. Now, distribution, BB, Corretora, brokerage revenues grew 6% year-on-year. The main driver on a comparison basis is the booking of past revenues and the increase in revenues from the premium bonds that is very sensitive and affects the performance of the brokerage company. Net margin grew 3.2 percentage points year-on-year, 2.4 in the first half of the year, and this is a result not just of a better improvement that is operational, but even more so because of a better investment income because of the high Selic rate, and the consequence of that is in a growth of the net income that grew significantly above revenue because of the better investment income, 11% year-on-year and 9% in the year-to-date numbers. And now in closing, our guidance, so non-operating results ex holding, so the range was 3-8. We delivered 7.4% in the quarter. In terms of premiums written, the range was 2-7. We had a decrease of 3.4%. And as I mentioned during the presentation, this is an impact very strongly of corporate credit life and crop insurance, and also in pension plans, we delivered 9.8%. So on the right-hand side here, you can see our revised estimates. What we had to do here was to adapt to the new regulation, to something that we didn't expect. And so the IOF in VGBL has had a significant impact in the short term, and we needed to adapt our projections to that impact. So one effect here initially in operating income, in interest rates, the impact of IOF is a result of the revenue from brokerage and collections, and the volume that we collected from pension plans had a drop, and we had to incorporate that in the operating results in interest rates. So we revised the range from a growth for a growth from 1-4%. In terms of premiums written, we also reduced it, the range of variation from -4% to +1%. Because of this very uncertain environment, especially in agribusiness. And so there are some actions going on to try and accelerate the recovery of credit life insurance, but it's still very volatile for agribusiness. So we thought it would be wise to revise down our range for premiums written. And in terms of reserves or pension plans, so 9-12, also a result of the impact of the IOF. So this is the result of collections below what we expected, and we needed to incorporate this in our projections. And so we needed to revise it down, and now it's from 9-12%. So these are the main highlights that I wanted to share with you for this quarter. And now we move to our questions and answer session. Thank you so much. Now we are back for our Q&A session. As a reminder, if you want to send a question in writing, just click on the Q&A button in the lower part of the Zoom screen. We'll try to answer all questions here live. If it's not possible because we don't have enough time, and then we will give you an answer by email. We're also going to allow some questions to be asked live by audio for some analysts if you click on the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen. So long as we say your name, please unmute your microphone and ask your question. Questions will always be answered in Portuguese, but if you want to ask a question in English, please feel free and we will answer here live. The first question comes from Daniel Vaz from Banco Safra. Daniel, please, you can open your microphone and ask your question. Good morning, Felipe, André, Rafael. Congratulations on your performance. I have two questions. The first one, I would like to hear Rafael about the commissions, unearned commissions in a brokerage company. So, could you explain the cash commission? And cash usually is Brasilcap. So, the cash is very much related to Brasilcap. So, it's slightly different in insurance and Prev. Hello, Danielle. Thank you for your question. Good morning. So, as to the revenues in the brokerage company, so it varies a lot from product to product. I'm going to try and simplify without going into too much detail, but I think this will be enough for you to understand how it works and why the to explain the resilience of our brokerage business at the brokerage company and also the insurance company because of deferred revenue, both in brokerage and premiums, because they have the same dynamics of deferral because of time. So, in the brokerage, credit life and pension, we charge a brokerage fee above over the volume collected, and this is booked as cash. So, there is no deferral. For insurance, it's completely different. So, for the insurance products, both earned premiums in insurance and revenue from brokerage in the brokerage company, they are booked according to the effect of the risk of the product. So, for example, credit life, that we have the longest risk, and we defer commissions sometimes for 5 years approximately. This is at the origin of the business. So the effective times are slightly lower because they are not carried up to maturity, and sometimes customers choose to renegotiate. So times are slightly shorter, but sometimes it's about 5 years. So today, commissions to be booked that are still going to be booked at 5.7 million. This is the total that we call as prepaid, but pension and the premium bonds. So once the revenues are immediately booked as cash, that's why they're very sensitive in the short term numbers. So once collection goes up in these two lines, immediately the brokerage revenues of the brokerage company go up. Similarly, well, I asked because of that, because there was a flattening of the curve. It was 4, then it went to 5.7, and then it remained at these levels. So there is a factor to be. So the second question is related to what we have here. So as part of BB Seguridade, we have Marcelo Labuto back to Brasilseg, one of the directors of the group Brazil, but in 2013 and 15 they were at BB Seguridade at the time of the IPO and so on. So I would like to try and relate this, whether it's possible, some this potential discussion of contract renewal over the 5 next years, considering that we are getting close to 2031, the first renewal of Brasilseg contract, and then we need to try and understand whether he's coming back to the group, is changing, whether this has anything to do, and so that we have an update, and this is valid, especially considering The scenario of the bank, because capital is not so simple, and then it could kind of unlock BBC Grid. Well, regarding that, Daniel, it's important for us to try and understand the governance flow, which are the duties of each one of the executive officers. So here specifically, Marcelo Labuto has broad experience in Banco do Brasil, was even the president of the bank temporarily, and then was the president of BB Seguridade. But he is being appointed to CEO for insurance operations. The discussion of agreements with partners and all the partners that we have will take place at the level of BB Seguridade and Banco do Brasil. So the operational aspects does we don't take part. So he's being considered as CEO of Brasilseg to run the operation regardless of the discussions that take place at the level of partners. Just to make it slightly clear, the difference in terms of the duties and the roles of different executive officers in the companies in the of the group. So we in terms of shareholders agreement there's nothing going on now. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you very much for the question, Daniel. Our next question comes from Antonio Ruette from the Bank of America. Antonio, good morning. You may open your microphone and ask your question, please. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for your time. My question is related to pricing. So, when we look at the loss ratio and then close to the plus 30 in terms of operational results and the growth in premium, has there been any change or do you plan any change in pricing or pricing levels, especially considering this level of frequency and this level of loss ratio? Or is the idea to that something is going to change in loss ratio, or do you see any prospects of it going back to higher levels? I'm just trying to understand what you think when we compare loss ratio below historical levels and also contract prices when we think in terms of growth. Well, thank you so much for your question. As to pricing, the focus might be slightly more agricultural. So it's according to expected credit life compared to historical levels is slightly above the historical levels. But here, because of changes that we have implemented, we expanded our target audience and our risk in terms of insured capital, but within expected. And now structurally is going to be slightly above historical levels in any way. In terms of homeowners, insurance is slightly different from what we were expecting. And so there are many, and we have been a level of 30 to 40%, and the portfolio has been responding to that. In other lines, no changes. They're all performing very much in line as expected. We don't see any indications and any to change in our subscription policies or in the underwriting policy. So, in terms of crop insurance, we have some margin to be slightly more aggressive in terms of prices because in the last three cycles, we've been having really great performance. But we need to be very careful because we are working with climate and we need to be very careful with that. Historically, it's not common to see this pattern of three cycles in a row with a the quality of the crop without any major event causing any major impact in loss ratio of the company. So yes, do have margin to work on. We are going to work on prices to have slightly more aggressive prices than we had been working with it, but slightly more careful, very gradual, because the only line in our portfolio that is exposed to tail risk. So that's why we need to be very careful. So in principle, today, when we assess the projections, the most up-to-date in terms of climate, we are okay to work like that. And the predominance, especially in next year, is for it to remain neutral. And so the perspective in terms of the weather is very favorable.
Thank you very much, Antonio. Our next question comes from Arnaldo Serasi from Citibank. Good morning. You can open your microphone and ask your question, please.
Hello, everyone. André, congratulations on the performance of this cycle. I would like to ask a question about the dynamic of premiums. July has ended. So I would like to understand your dynamics, especially for rural insurance after the Safra plan. And if you allow me, also in terms of premium, there has been a variation in the technical provisions that was really significant now this quarter. If you could explain it better.
I'm going to answer your first question, and then I'm going to ask you to explain a little bit better your second question. About the first one, well, we've been seeing a reaction in crop insurance, and now it's still too early for us to extrapolate this from now to the end of the year. But that year-on-year variation rate that we saw in the first half of the year, it had a significant improvement in July and now in the beginning of August. So the downwards curve is not so steep anymore. And we have more funds being allocated to small and mid-sized farmers. That is our target audience for crop insurance. So this composition favored us more than the composition that we used to have last year. But at the same time, there are some other factors that we need to consider more carefully, and especially the reduction of the subsidy for crop insurance. So we need to estimate the size of demand, the appetite of farmers in terms of risk, and how this recovery is going to take place along the second half of the year, but still too early to say anything. About your second question, if you could repeat that, please. I'm not sure I fully understood it.
Well, in terms of retained earned premiums, there was a change in the technical provisions that was significant this quarter of 310 million compared to a much lower amount year on year. And is there any explanation? Thank you.
Well, I'm going to try and infer the reason for your question. And this has a little bit to do with the answer that I gave to Daniel. So, as part of provisions for unearned premiums at Brasilseg, there is a strong component which is prepaid revenue and is coming especially from credit life. So, when credit life slows down, as we've been seeing, as it is a very long product, we are still booking lots of revenue. And it's one of the lines that grew the most, so that there is revenue from past cycles that we are booking. So we see written premiums going down by 3%. So when we eliminate the noise of reinsurance,
With crop insurance, and most of the drop is related to crop insurance. When you take out crop insurance from the numbers, you can see that retained premiums is almost flat, zero risk, and a growth of 2% year on year. And when we have retained earned premiums, so there is no, the risk that I issued, and then I go to a second time, which is the booking of premiums from sales that were made in the last 3 years, more or less, most of that. So then retained earned premiums go up by 9%. So there's no change in the criteria. This is linear deferral, differently from IFRS 17. So deferral is linear. So it's a result of this big mattress of earned premiums that we built over the last 3 years with sales of credit life that now are coming clear and being booked in our bottom line. Thank you very much. Our question, next question comes from Tiago Binsfeld from Goldman Sachs. Good morning, Felipe, Rafael, and André. I would like to understand the changes in operational guidance. So the second half of the year is going to be very much similar to the first half. I would just like to understand, well, you said something about the loss ratio and the crop insurance staying flat. Is there a significant higher deterioration of the loss ratio, or are you conservative because of any other component of the operating result? Thank you for your question. Just to make it clear, we just need to review the operating guidance because of the incidence of IOF in a PGBL. If nothing had changed, there would be no reason for us to review it down in any of the neither of the two ranges. Now, IOF in impact in collections, so it's directly related to the brokerage revenue and BB Corretora, our brokerage company. So if I didn't have the new law, the new regulation, we would be able to bear the previous range, because even though one line is slightly below what we initially expected, we had margin with it and range to absorb any other unexpected variation that, as you reinforced in the second half, especially the loss ratio of crop insurance. We don't expect any significant changes, but there would be some space in the previous range to absorb it. Now, in the second half of the year, with the impact of IOF, in the end, this margin is not enough to absorb any type of unexpected variation that we may have. So, because we are very cautious, we decided to review down the range to have a slightly more margin if anything varies in projections, because the impact of IOF takes up 1 to 2 points depending on how we will be able to react in terms of the growth of operating results. So, we had to incorporate this in our estimates. And the same thing applies to pension reserves. Now, with IOF, this ended up taking out like 3 points on the growth of reserves. And so this needed to be reflected in our projections too. So this has been the main driver, the main reason that led us to review the range. Otherwise, you would only have reviewed the written premiums and based on actual numbers and forecast for the second half of the year with a lower volume of subsidies for crop insurance. We had to incorporate that in our numbers. Thank you, Rafael. If you allow me to ask a brief question, we saw that solvency of your subsidiaries has improved. So, how do you understand the capital of your affiliates and also payout considering this context? Well, yes, we are considering that, Tiago, in Brazil SEG. So we are very close to our risk appetite, and it varies from company to company about 1.2, 1.3, the regulatory capital. This is our risk appetite. Where we would have more room is in Brasilprev. Brasilprev has not yet paid out the profit of the first half of the year, so there is a capital surplus which is well above our risk appetite and Brasilcap. There is a situation, if you remember, that because of the strong movement in the opening of the curve in the end of last year, we had to take capital from third parties to cover the liquidity deficit. But in the middle of the second half, we had recovered the capital basis, and we are very conservative. And so this third-party capital, and we are likely to use the results that have been generated to settle the debt now in September. So, with all of this, we expect the payout for the first half. It's almost 90%. And it should be expected that in the second half of the year, the payout is going to be slightly higher than the first half, of course, considering a higher basis of profit than in the first half. So for the whole year, it should be higher than the first half. Thank you very much, Rafael. Second question from Marcelo from Bradesco. Marcelo, you can open your question. I mean, your microphone and ask your question. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Number one, I would like to have a follow-up on payout. So the company has most 1.1 billion of shares in treasury. And as you had the buyback program, so the situation of Banco do Brasil was slightly different. Now we are seeing what's going on, the discussion at the bank in terms of capital and preservation. So does the situation in the bank change in any way? What you're going to do with these shares in treasury, whether you're going to sell, and then the bank is going to pay and have a higher payout. So I would like to understand better the shares in the treasury. So the second question is what you think will be the collection or in terms so if you could explain to us a little bit about what you are going your inflow at least into gross inflows in pension in the second half of the year. Thank you very much, Mizari, for your question. So, about the shares that are in Treasury, we had the buyback program. So, our understanding here, so we have here the vision that the shares are not at the fair price, but we are aware of the impact that has in the bank's capital. So for now, we are not planning to launch any new buyback program. As to what we are going to do about that, this is a decision that is up to the board of directors. So on our end here, today, we don't have any reason to sell those shares to the market. Even though the program has been approved, we had the authorization for them to be kept in treasury and canceled or sold. But so far, we have no reason in the management of BB Seguridade that we're not planning to sell those shares. But this is a decision that is up to the board of directors, and depending on what they decide, and we as executive officers are going to do what they tell us to do. But so far, we have nothing, no decisions has been made about that. As to the IOF, according to the new rule, it's very difficult for us to get to a number that is exact, Misery. This varies greatly in the breakdown of products, and our group of farmers have a cash flow that is very much concentrated at certain times of the year that will have pension contributions in amounts that will be higher than those defined. So, in our understanding, we think that it can veto 20 to 30%, thinking in terms of collection. Now, but then on the other hand, we are not going to be passive, and we've been adopting, have been adopting different commercial strategies to deal with that, working better on the scale of payment, or on the schedule of payment along the year, avoiding concentration at certain times of the year to try and minimize this effect. That's why it's difficult for us to give you an exact percentage, but it has the potential to get in terms of collection. Thank you. Thank you, Marcelo. Our next question comes from Pedro Leduc from Itaú BBA. Pedro, good morning. You can open your microphone and ask your question, please. Good morning. Thank you for the call and for letting me to ask a question. As part of rural premiums, we've been seeing the crop insurance getting weaker and being offset by rural lien. This quarter, there is a kind of slowdown in these two products, but I would like to hear from you. How do you see the relative penetration of the rural lien and farmers' life? And how do you see this in the future in terms of growth and how these products are going to grow? Maybe penetration is high. So, how do these two products within your rural portfolio, how are they likely to behave in the midterm? Thank you, Pedro. Thank you for your question. Now, trying to say what to expect in terms of the rural portfolio in the second half of the year. So, you are right, there has been a slowdown in the second quarter, but this is the result of the comparison basis. So, in the second half, you can expect the same movement. This rate is going to slow down both in rural lien and for farmers insurance too, so an acceleration in crop insurance in the second half, so that the combined growth or the combined variation in terms of premiums written in the rural segment, the rural portfolio, the level is going to be higher than we have today if we consider year-to-date numbers until June. So this variation rate is going to be better in our rural portfolio in the second half of the year with slightly different composition. So if you think in terms of retained premiums, crop insurance just 2%, and so very low level. So as I said before in one of the answers, crop insurance now is reacting in July and in August. It's good too. So this is going to persist along the second half of the year so that rural as a whole will have a better performance, and this is implicit in the reviewed growth range that we have in our guidance. So in terms of penetration, we have a higher penetration in terms of lien insurance, slightly more than in life. But here, so lien is mandatory. There are some lines that we still operate very little and with a growth potential in terms of Banco do Brasil, in terms of livestock. For grains, it's very high, but in livestock, still very low. Our next question comes from Evandro Medeiros from Sona Research.
Evandro, please, you can open your microphone and ask your question. Good morning. The volume of reserves in Brasilcap, when adjusted by inflation, it has been growing since 2012. How do you explain that in Brasilcap? Thank you. Evandro, thank you for your question. So it's a little bit difficult for us to analyze such a long time span because along all this time there have been many changes in our products. So what influences directly the reserves is very much the average time of bonds. So when we shorten the time, the reserve for the next 2 or 3 years goes down. If we have longer times, the reserve responds by growing. So 2012 and 13, there are very strong growth in reserves, precisely because of the longer times. And then we had the movement of shortening times, which persisted until 2019, 18, 19, more or less. And then now we have longer times again with AutoCap 30 years product. So we have longer portfolios. So reserves are likely to grow again. So this is very much related to the timing, to time. And that's why you see this variation. Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Carlos Gomez from HSBC. Hello, Carlos. You can unmute. The floor is yours. You may ask your question.
Thank you very much. Two questions. One on the IOF and the impact, pretty traumatic impact it is having on the pension business. Have you had discussions with the authorities? Do you have any prospect that this could be modified or reversed in the future? And second, on the contracts, both with the for the subsidiaries and for the Correctora, when would it be a realistic time in which the company should start negotiating with both partners? Thank you.
Hi, Carlos. Thank you very much for your question. I'm gonna start addressing the first one. For sure, we had many discussions with the government and the authorities, and not just through BB Seguridade, but also with our confederation that unite all the biggest insurance companies in Brazil. This topic has been discussed between Congress, the executive, and now in the judiciary, so in the legal system. So it's a little bit hard to foresee any changes for now. This topic must be discussed again between Congress and the executive, so maybe they can reach an agreement. For sure, the sector is working on a different perspective that we could reach a new agreement. But so far, it is what it is. We have no perspectives. The Congress just restarted their legislative year so far, so we can expect that these discussions can come along, but we know that there are other topics that has been taken over the news and taken over the agenda. So far we have to work what we have in hands right now. Well, the second question
it was about the negotiations and the negotiation with the Bank of Brazil about the distribution in the
program. So far we remain where we started. These discussions will take place when they must take place. I believe that we are far from the end of the agreements that we have in place. So far we are working along with our partners to make the best and to profit with them. So that's it. And for sure we discuss, we talk about it. That's no taboo, but we have nothing solid so far that we could bring to the table and tell you guys.
We understand that. I guess the question is, what is realistic? Is it 2 years, 3 years? When should you start talking so that it is not disruptive to the business?
Carlos, generally, we have a meeting 7 years so far until we reach the first deadline. I believe the end of next year, beginning of 27, this must be a good time for starting a discussion. Generally, M&As, you do not start like 1 year before, but 3, 4 years in a good manner when you're talking about large companies like us. So I would tell you that. But you can ask this question again like in a few months and then you can have a different answer from the next CEO. So that's it.
No, that's a good answer. A very good answer. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carlos.
Our next question comes from Guilherme Grespan from JP Morgan. Grespan, you may ask your question, please.
Good morning, Felipe and André. Sperendio too. Thank you for the call. Thank you for taking my question. And I would like to hear your diagnosis. So there's a positive diagnosis in your market share and Banco do Brasil's market share in the agribusiness. And my question is because it's becoming increasingly relevant. And so in our numbers, 2/3 of Brazil's ag is agro. But when I look at the market share of Banco do Brasil 10 years ago, they used to have 65% of the market share in U2. And in the last 10 years, Banco do Brasil dropped to 53% market share. And after the last the crop, 53 is going to drop even further. But I find it interesting that you remain with 63, 64 market share in this industry. And so there was a mismatch or a detachment, a difference. So why do you think you have this market share in the industry? Are you going to lose it? That's become more competitive, both in terms of incumbents joining this industry. So what is your diagnosis and how do you see your leadership, please?
Guilherme, good morning. I'm going to answer this first and then I'm going to give it over to Rafael to complement. So, considering the size of the market and our capacity to innovate and create new products and look not just to the origination, but inventory too, and we can see this in rural lien, Ouro Vida, and we think that we still have room to grow. And this is the way I see it. Of course, we see incumbents taking up space. We are way ahead of them, and the market's going to become increasingly more competitive. We can see major competitors, and we have this industry, and we are worried about that. That's why we have to become increasingly more efficient in innovation, monitoring, and in defining parameters. We have been reaching new levels in terms of the offer of products, and we need to remain very competitive. But in my opinion, of course, this is going to take a while still. And the vision of the bank, I'm not going to say because it belongs to the bank and I don't speak for them. There are many factors that need to be considered in the market, especially considering collateral and credits, loss ratio, capacity to protect our customers. So we think that we are going to be different for quite some time. But if you're not creative and have competitive value offer, yes, we are going to be affected more strongly in future years. For now, we remain at very good levels, always paying attention so that we can have the best in technology to offer to our customers. Just complementing. When we see the insurance products that they have quite strong synergy with banking products, so undeniably on average, considering the banking products, if we see the life cycle of products, they are the level of maturity that is higher than insurance products. And this makes it possible for us to advance these movements and to try to delay even further this context of more competitiveness and margin reduction, which is likely to happen. But as you said, this is going to be more slowly. A practical example of that in terms of funding products for farmers. So there has been a significant increase in recent years in the share of others' funding lines, especially for farmers. Until recently, we didn't have an insurance product to farmers, and now we are advanced significantly in terms of crop insurance to combine it with a new funding mechanism. So we've been using very much the platform, which is a joint investment with Banco do Brasil, to try and find alternative ways for traditional bank loans in the agribusiness segment. This is very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Guilherme. We have two questions here that were posted in our Q&A. One is very frequent, but those who are joining us now, it's interesting to answer. This is about the change in the flow of payments of dividends that it went from every 6 months to every 3 months to be quarterly. And the second question is what we think about the macroeconomic scenario and the main variables and how this can affect our businesses. First, the frequency of payout of dividends. So far, we are having our practice of paying it every 6 months, also considering the cash generation of the company. So the brokerage is a major source of cash generation. It can only pay out its dividends every 6 months. So we have no intention of changing that frequency. And this may vary depending on availability. We might have an extraordinary payout, but we are not saying that we are going to have a quarterly payout of dividends. As to the scenario, this is a very broad question. What we've been seeing in the short term, this scenario of a higher Selic ends up being beneficial for us, for our bottom line. It has had a direct impact in our net investment income. In terms of inflation, very beneficial. With the plan of benefits in Brasilprev and with the IPCA at 5% and IGPM at 1.3%, if I'm not mistaken, this is up to date. And so every point that IPCA is above IGPM, we have an impact of 30 million in our profit. So this is very positive. But then on the other hand, this makes it more difficult. If we have a high interest rate scenario, this makes it difficult for us to grow operationally because the operational growth is formed by lines that are somehow related to the Selic. If we have a 15% rate, so having a life protection or credit life for a credit operation, it's not the same as if the Selic is 8 or 7. And so this makes it slightly more difficult for us to grow, especially in terms of companies. As I said during the presentation, we are seeing a reaction of individuals, but for companies, we are feeling it even stronger. It's even more difficult. So this is what we have been seeing. And then we see the financial much more than offsetting the slowdown. And this is not the best environment that we have when we look in the mid and long term, but in the short term, this is very favorable. Thank you, Rafael. Now we are ending our questions and answers session. Rafael, André, if you want to make any closing remarks. So I would just like to thank everyone for being with us and to say that I am available along with the investor relations team to answer any questions that you may still have that we didn't answer during our meeting here. So I am ending my cycle in the company. So first of all, I would like to thank our shareholders, our controlling shareholder, Banco do Brasil, and especially the minority shareholders that believe in our company. My special gratitude to the whole team and our team that make this company be what it is truly. And I would like to thank everyone supporting us, everyone here at the studio. Thank you very much. Thank you all very much. And I hope to see you soon. Thank you. And as a reminder, we have a satisfaction survey that with a QR code on the screen. If you could answer, we are very grateful to you. Have a good day. Thank you.